Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You listen once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. And today we are having with us a very special program. This is the fifth Sunday, and every fifth Sunday for the past almost 2 years, year or more, we've had our dear brother and dear friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, unless he had an otherwise engagement. We were supposed to have Brother Anthony Shaheed from Ferguson, Missouri, to come on the show and to address us for a few moments, but our main speaker is Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. Fifth Sunday, I have conceived this program to be the first Sunday to be education, the second Sunday to be business, third Sunday to be culture, and the fourth Sunday to be government. When there is a fifth Sunday, we want to have ethical ethnicity to focus us on the ethical questions of our ethnic group. And this program, without hesitation, without apology, and without reservation, is a program for all people that is geared especially to the descendants of slaves, slavery here in America. And so I have yet heard from our dear brother and dear friend from St. Louis, Missouri, from Ferguson, Missouri. But if when he comes on, in the interest of time, I'm going to ask Brother Imam which way you want to proceed. We haven't heard from him yet. You ready to proceed, Brother Imam?
I am ready, but I think logistically you should give the brother a few more grace minutes because I don't logistically.
Paul could hold a minute. If you could give us some opening remarks, I'm going to have to call the brother right now. I'm going to call him. He might have, you know, busy as he is, he has a life. So I don't know how we would do this, but, okay, we haven't heard from him yet. I'm waiting for him to come aboard with us. Our brother, let me call him. Dear beloved people, just excuse us for just one moment, and we will have our brother call him. I haven't been able to reach you. Brother Imam, I think it's just in the interest of time. We don't want someone complained to me other day about dead time. He's a broadcaster. So we're going to have you to proceed.
I can't hear you, Brother Imam.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I
can you hear me,
you
Brother
now.
Imam? Yes, sir.
Yes.
If you would proceed, and I said in the interest of not having dead time, I think you should proceed. And I'll try to reach Brother Anthony toward the end of the broadcast that at the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have him to come on and address the audience.
With Allah's name, the praise and thanks is for Allah. We thank him for the gift of the model human being, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the honorable and noble messenger of Allah. And what follows of that salute or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, peace be upon him, the seal of the prophets mentioned in the Bible, and it is given in Al-Quran. Dearly beloved people, we like to address you as an audience today on the issue and query that is raised in this particular way. Issue: is there a violation of cosmic ethics when a people or a ethnicity prefers the guidance of men over the guidance of God? I repeat, is there a violation of cosmic ethics when a people or an ethnicity prefers the guidance of men over the guidance of God? This is our discussion, and must greet you, assalamu alaikum, by heaven already, before we move into this topic. Now, there's a lot of talk in the atmosphere about Ferguson. Ferguson this and Ferguson that. But the thing is that when we deal with this issue, we must deal with it on a very basic level of justice, this whole Ferguson issue. Just on a basic common sense level of justice. But in doing that, we should not allow anyone to think that when we're dealing with Ferguson or any other human incident, demanding common sense justice initially, that's all we have to offer. That's the beginning of our offering. But it's not the best of our offering. It's only part of our offering. And we know that there's an urge in the sons and daughters of Adam to see justice prevail. That's why Dr. King could say, in essence, that in the picture, that in the moral law that undergirds the picture, that law bends toward justice. That law bends toward justice. So everything in creation has an urge toward justice. And we acknowledge that, and we can relate to all the sons and daughters of Adam on that level. But in our relating to, and in our interchanges with, and in our spiritual and mental intercourse with our brothers and sisters, we must not allow ourselves to be shortchanged and put in a position well, we do not give our best. I remember the man once saying that people brought him a complaint about his very excellent teachings being over the heads of the masses to a certain extent sometime. And they wanted him to water things down and present a diet of information that was palatable to the taste of the masses. And the imam said, in essence, am I not to give the most excellent part of myself that Allah has given to me? And yes, in dealing with this issue, we don't need to get heavy. We can stand on justice, but at the same time, there's deep and very, very, very complex psycho-spiritual phenomenon going on related to the fact that this is Yom Medin, related to the history of Scripture and God's revelation. And when we deal with these matters are not light matters. These matters are not light matters. Moreover, as a practical point, some of the things we have to offer from Imam Muhammad, we have been received such a special education on it that if we don't bring it to the table, who else is going to do it? Who can do it if they have not been trained and tutored and instructed by the late Imam Arthur D. Muhammad? So we are coming to the table of human interaction and relationship, we must bring our best to the table. And we cannot be concerned as to how the people will receive it. We can't be concerned about the fact that, hey, the people are too caught up in the mundane pressures of the and tension of the event, and they don't want to be bothered with that kind of talk now. Well, the people want justice, and we're going to take a strong stand on justice, but it's not just for us to try to keep us limited to that which is inferior when Almighty God has blessed us and guided us to that which is superior. Oh, yes. Now, I dealt with this Brown thing with Michael Brown one day, but this Ferguson with this son in it. You know, I just got through watching our brother, outstanding intellect, at least in his scientific and medical expression, Mr. Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, on nationally famous program for years, Meet the Press. And I must say, they were dealing with the issue of Ferguson, and I thought that he might brown nose to the conservative Republican audience in order to maneuver himself to be in a good position in the Republican primaries. Because he indicated that on the program he's thinking about running for president. But I was surprised. He made some very reasonable, just remarks about the situation. And I was happy about that. But let me tell you, if Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, with his brilliant understanding of the science of neurosurgery, if he's seriously thinking about being president of the United States, then his intelligence must open up and acknowledge the fact that there are other religious disciplines on the planet other than this idea that he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, and that if others do not believe it, then they go into hell or that they are destined for damnation. And that the only religious system that has any credibility is mass-based Christianity. I didn't say Christianity. I didn't say the message that Esau brought, but this mass-based concoction from the priest class that has been given to the masses in the name of God. If he's seriously thinking about being the president of these United States, a country with a million of Hindus, million of Muslims, million of Jews, millions of Buddhists, all these religious paths that deviate from that milkish idea that he was taught as a child, then maybe he needs to back away from such a goal. His intellect must become broad and tolerant on this matter. People say he's conservative. I've got some conservative values, too. I'm not going to knock him for conservatism. But I am going to knock him if he tried to present himself as an intelligent man with a world-class intellect that's capable of leading over 300 million people and interacting with billions on the planet. He tried to come forward with that narrow-minded dogmatism and sectarianism and irrational Christian polemic. But I say all that to say, how did he get in this position? He got in this position by following the guidance of men other than the guidance of God. Now, in Bible, they talk about this idea where the sons of God, we talking about this son thing that's in Ferguson now, where men attempt to make and reproduce minds in their own image, a formula for psycho-cerebral imperialism and internal colonialism. This idea in Bible where men were produced in the image of God, not God the creator, but these sons of God, these enlightened ones, these wise ones, who go to these communities that are in darkness, devoid of light, that are ignorant, and they inseminate them with their seed of reality. And then the male and females in that community end up clones of these gods, these Zeus-like figures from the Mount Olympian, from Mount Olympus of human reality, become clones, become copycats. No independent thinking, no independent evaluation. Everything is formed by a colonialistic conception, not an immaculate conception, but an imperialistic and colonialistic conception. And any time, especially males in a culture, become sons of men, not because they're sons of these gods, not because they love these gods so much, but because they have an inferiority complex. Or if it's not the inferiority complex, they won't ensure a 12. They violate the moral cosmic cloak when they want the wife of the Pharaoh. They want to replace the Caucasian. They want his power. They want to be over his system. But Yusuf, who kept the moral cloak, he did not desire that. All he desired is to want to do right. Then there are others who make a bargain and say, okay, I'll follow your guidance. Just let me have access to your materialism. Let me have access to your toys. Let me have access to your money. Let me have access to all the sex and pleasure that I want. And I will disobey the guidance of God. I will go astray from my original nature. I will stop honoring him as Ar-Rashid, the right guy. I will become corrupt following your guidance. I will become unrighteous following your guidance. I will go astray following your guidance. I will seek something crooked for your benefits in the boon of this world. Even though I call you racist, even though I'm quick I'm going to become your son. I'm going to let you adopt me. And I'm going to follow your guidance. I'm going to be your clone. I'm going to be your image. I'm going to be your son. And I'm going to prefer your guidance over the guidance of God. I remember the man saying once, say, how can a man lie on God? He said, once you lie on God, that's beyond the point of no return. This idea that was established in the church, it was invented, it was falsehood, it was a lie on God. And many of our people now, African Americans, that was all kind of educational training, scientists, politicians, and financiers, and academicians, and all of that, they still pay lip service to this false guidance. And they refuse to follow the right God, the right guidance from Almighty God. So as African Americans, in this speaker's opinion, our number one problem is that we have been weak in obeying the guidance of God. And one thing about Imam Muhammad, his sibling said, even when he was a little boy, in his relationship to them and his parents, he was very obedient. It didn't take that much for him to evolve that natural obedience to parents and older siblings and project that obedience onto the guidance of God. You will be hard-pressed to find any African-American leader in the last 30, 40 years that have been willing to put everything on the line the way the Imam did, went against his father, went against power, went against money, went against acquisition of large numbers of women, went against material possessions when they came to get him, to let him, when his father passed, the day before. That wonderful address when he came and said, I was born for the mission. They went over Imam Muhammad's house and found his refrigerator broken, tied together with a rope. Tied together with a rope. It's a violation of cosmic ethics. When an ethnicity or a people prefer the guidance of men over the guidance of God. So now we're going to study the situation of this afternoon of some events where I believe Allah is trying to tell us something. With Allah trying to give us signs, evidence, lesson, and proof out of His mercy as to what we need to look at as an ethnicity that's gone astray, that has followed religion that we know is crooked, followed guidance that we know is deviant. I'm talking about the elite among us. Give lip service to guidance that we know cannot be substantiated, that we know did not come from the guidance of God. Oh, what a shameful bargain for the life of this world. Look, if I go for the guidance of God, the system is going to deny me my career, my upward mobility, my fame, my notoriety, my money, my wealth, my income. So I'm going to allow myself to be maneuvered into becoming a psychocerebral spiritual clone made in the image of the systemic fathers. so that I can unrighteously acquire what my soul desire. Let me briefly go to the Quran. We have violated a basic ethic, a cosmic ethic. There's no greater ethic, be it relative man-made or absolute cosmic, that's more important than the servant, the heir of God, not taking any other guidance other than him. When one knowingly, I'm not talking about the masses of these African Americans that's still in the dark. I'm talking about the root that is caving in on us, our leadership. And Quran said that root came in, and Allah catch them from directions that they perceive not. Catch them from directions that they perceive not. Saudis came over here and promised Imam all kind of money if they let him be their father in religion. What? I'm not going to be your clone. I'm the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm not going to be your psycho-spiritual mill boy, your production, your image, your replica, your duplicate. Especially when I've studied the guidance of God, and our prophet, which you say you follow, made it clear that I am not your father, and I'm paraphrasing. I'm the prophet of God in the seal of the prophet. And he told the Muslims and the companions and the believers to call him our key. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves that we become so unethical as an ethnicity that we would prefer the guidance of a Western paradigm that came from people we said enslaved us and humiliated us and lynched us. And taking this position, it does not represent any anger against anybody. This is common sense. Every son and daughter of Adam were created with an independent acle, the ability to make reality with reality and come up with its own independent conclusions about the nature of that reality without being cloned, without being made in the cultural, civilizational image of another people, not being totally dominated by the superego of another people, but only dominated by what God has prescribed for his servants. So we'll go to Quran. I don't have to make any comments on this. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When my servants ask thee concerning me, I am indeed close to them. I listen to the prayer of every supplicant when he called on me. Let them also with a will listen to my call and believe in me, that they may walk in the right way, that they may be consciously guided, that they may be soberly guided, that Allah, that they will respond to Allah's attribute, Ar-Rashid. And if they don't do that, then we become disobedient, rebels against our Lord. And we refuse to obey him and to submit to him. So consequently, we go astray. We take up the way of our crooked manipulators. Oh, yes. So this week, the spotlight was upon Adrian Peterson in one instance, in Marion Barry in another. Our people were brought from Africa as slaves. And in the slave making and slave breaking, cloning attempt to breed baby-like sons and daughters, we were emptied of all our knowledge, culture, and tradition from Africa. At least a great percentage of it. They never could get it all out of us, but they got a great percentage. And then they began to take that semi-blank tablet and began to place in that blank tablet, in that soul, in that mind, whatever they wanted to place. Initially, they waited 100 years before there was any whole-scale attempt, systematic attempt to proselytize the slaves. When they got to the point that many of the original Africans had basically died off, and the cultural influences and civilizational influences of Africa were wearing old and dim, then they began to feed us that which was from Peter. And according to that book, it says, upon this rock I will build my church. This is related to Peter, comes from the word Petra. And Petro is nothing but hardened forest, decayed material that becomes hard as rocks. And then they began to transmute into petrol or gas or oil. So they began to make us in the image of Peter. And according to what the Bible hints, it says that Esau, not necessarily literally and historically, but Esau's message will look upon what Peter did as a betrayal. It says that before the cock crow three times, you will betray me. That combination of cock and three combined is the cockatrice. And I later, we couldn't see this. I was studying for LLM in law, a very tough discipline. Very few Americans get to that kind of level in academia, and I couldn't see this. I couldn't make the connection. But they said that this cockatrice symbolizes a monstrous doctrine, as the Quran said, when the egg, and I'm going beyond Quran, when in the mythology, when the egg of the cock, when the teachings of the prophet is hatched on a dunghill by a reptile. And then the result of that strange, monstrous conception is the doctrine of the Trinity. And we were fed this concoction. Until this day, there's, with all the light on the planet about the falsity of this doctrine, with all the educated African American, we're talking about marching and protesting about what happened to the physical body of a man and where we should. But what about the psychological slaying of generations of people with an artificial, concocted church-based guidance that's in contravention of the guidance of God? Where is the collective challenge to that? Where is the protest? We out there playing and jiving behind the idea that we have a right to our own religious belief. Most of you will take that position on the rooftop. In your private ruminations, you know you don't accept that. But in order to get what you need from the black masses, support, votes, and all that, you put on a big public show. I saw it in Selma, Alabama. I've had many African-American players, the powerful ones behind the scene, tell me point blank, you don't be telling me I'm stupid for believing in that. I don't buy They don't buy. Yet they're so ethically compromised because they want this political position or that job that they refuse to publicly and openly challenge it by throwing out truth and busting out his brain. Be it the symbolism of Ben Carson or Adrian Peterson, the son of the church, whose mind has been conceived by the priestly fathers. And look at that name, Adrian. That's a form of this Roman emperor named Hadrian. And Hadrian was, I want you to understand, was the emperor who built the Great Wall. And in scripture, it says that this donkey that was a beast of burden, that was a clone, that had been brainwashed with false religious doctrine, say that his feet, according to their script, the blueprint and Bible, said his feet was crushed up against the wall. And our people caught up in these ideas cannot penetrate to the essence because the essence is rooted in arcane, esoteric, highly symbolic, obscure teachings. And so because we wrestle with the book and try to get a common sense message from that which is obtuse and obscure and confusing and on the surface expresses a lack of clarity, we will lose our ability to make use of our common sense to deal with the basic idea in religion that he's about. Bro, la ilaha illallah, that basic put feet upon which all seed of Abraham should stand. We miss that, and we bind to a 3-in-1 doctrine. Our feet are crushed against the wall. But look at the name Wallace. Wallace is the ace that God raised of Wallace. He is the ace that God raised up to break down the wall of symbolism that was hiding the essence of Western concocted Bible and Quranic revelation. A clear and perfect book. Because he wanted to do right. Because he was sober-minded. Because he wanted to follow the guidance of God. Allah blessed him and guided him and gave him the hikmah, gave him the wisdom, gave him the clarity to deal with the wall. And the Quran says, Khadijah came along and say that he met these two sons and there was treasure buried up on the wall. And he rebuilt the situation and dealt with it to preserve the treasure for the believers. And what had happened was the teachings of the Jews and the Christians had become blocked by a wall of confused symbolism. So this is the sound lesson and proof of Adrian Peterson, especially you African-American men. You're going to always be a bunch of sons, a bunch of boys, a bunch of symbols shining for someone else. As long as you shine their guidance and derogation of the powerful, pure light upon light of Almighty God, Allah. and any people who would be mistreated and put in triple darkness, and God got them out of that darkness, and they stick with that darkness purely because they want some of the booty from the life of this world. Any people that weak, any people that unethical, any people that immoral, any people that are corrupt deserve a divine chastisement, a divine punishment. And all the king horses and all the king men cannot take that divine scrap out of Allah's hand. Yeah, I'm demanding justice in Ferguson. I hate that this man got away with murdering the son of Adam. Our highly victimized brother, the late Michael Brown. And I concede that. But at the same time, we do not have to ignore the deeper fundamental reality that some of the things that are happening to us in our community is a result that we disobeyed God. We rebel against His way and consciously and knowingly, not like the masses who are just unconsciously caught up, but consciously and knowingly in order to get something from this world's life, in order to get wife, our church, our character has been torn from the front. Unlike Yusuf, they had to tear his shirt from the rear. And even though the wives wanted him so bad that they cut his finger, he did not give in to their seductive overtures. He stayed morally and ethically upright, and eventually he was in a position where Pharaoh followed his guidance. He didn't follow Pharaoh's guidance, but he stayed true to cosmic morals and ethics, and Allah taught him to take will, and he guided Pharaoh. And the imam have been blessed with the knowledge to guide this culture, to guide this civilization, to keep it going, to help perfect this wonderful democracy. Our leadership refuse to acknowledge that Almighty God is our Rashid. Let me move on. I don't have a lot of time today. Now, I said Peterson and Barry, then we have another pair. Now, Marion Barry, a staunch race man, when he was in high school, he single-handedly took a stand against a newspaper company that he was throwing papers for. They were discriminating against him and the other blacks. Peddlers, African-American peddlers, and he took a stand against it, and he took a stand against the college administration at his educational institution that was not treating African-American right. This was in the same town, and we don't have time to make the connection, Memphis, where Dr. King was eventually murdered. Now, Dr. King's wife came from Marion, Alabama, and Marion Barry grew up in the town where Dr. King was murdered, Memphis, Tennessee. After demonstrating a staunch racial consciousness, he became leader of SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, made a big impact, was sent to open an office in D.C., got involved in local politics, was involved in a shooting incident. My understanding, the imam got involved. So he knew about the imam. He knew about his guidance that Allah was giving him. But evidently, that did not ever impress him. And so he went on. In 1972, he demonstrated against the movie Superfly, and he said that he was against it because it encouraged our young people to deal in dope. But later on, after he he rejected, began to reject the guidance of God and start following his own vain desires, when he, in order to become man, refused to challenge the palliative that the black man's voters were given in D.C. in the name of God and religion, then he ended up dealing with those same drugs that he said Hollywood was trying to push on the black masses through the movie Superfly. Now look, my sister is a good friend of Marion Barry. I don't have no problem with Marion Barry. This is objective reality. We can't reject the signs of God simply because on a subjective, personal level, we like somebody. What kind of mental and spiritual discipline would that be? To jettison objective guidance because subjectively our feelings like somebody. The key then, in my opinion, was when Marion Barry was set up, and I say he was set up because my leader said he was set up. And he said, yeah, they'll send a woman to set you up. They'll send a bear, gorilla, whatever to set you up if you let them set you up. But look at the sign in that. The woman in Bob, the little name she had was based upon the attribute of God, Rashid. Her name was Rashida. And so from that point, Allah was giving us a lesson, was giving us evidence, was giving us proof. Don't use your own feelings in evaluating this man. He ended up being the man that he was because, like many others, he did not follow my guidance. He disobeyed me. He exercised his freedom of will. Because he knew enough about the system in order to get certain things from it, you have to navigate and act as if you follow the systemic guidance. Even though you're a militant or a race man, we call it playing the game. So, literal woman with a code name Rashida was allowed by Allah to be used as an instrument to set him up and check him, to give a larger message that men like him, strong race leaders, good men at heart, but somehow with a jinn-like spirit, that they did not have to submit to the guidance of God. And they refused to work with the man that they knew was following the guidance of God, the lady man was the Deen Muhammad. His brothers threw him in a pit of isolation and community desolation. And I'm sure knowing Brother Barry and his kind of good heart, knowing him, he said, like many of the others said, and maybe like Jesse said, we have plenty of time to do right after this. But the thing about it, when we began to violate those kinds of ethics and morals, then they take on a life of their own, and they accelerate, and they became a momentum, and they become compulsive habits, and even though something in them still want to break them, it's very difficult for them to break. So he started projecting that he wanted other guys, but look who he started consorting with and messing around with. Minister Louis Farrakhan. Minister Farrakhan knows that what he was teaching at the time is not the guidance of God. Marion Barry is not stupid. He read Malcolm's book. He read some of the reevaluation as to what happened with the Nation of Islam. Honorable Elijah Muhammad's speech, as the sister said, in 1974, is posted on the internet. Everybody knows where the Nation of Islam was going when the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed away. But we played these unethical games. We got corrupt. We went astray. We began to incline toward crookedness. And we did not follow that conscientious and that sober urge that many Rashid that Allah has put in our nature to make us respond to his bigger El Rashid. No, Michael Brown didn't deserve to be systematically murdered. But let me tell you fellas, some out there, as long as you knowingly in your selfishness and in your lack of ethics and morality continue to prefer the guidance of this system, at least faking it to make it, we'll never get where we need to go as a people. And finally, I have to deal with this other pair. And one of them was so tragic every time I think about it, but I think of it, this incident in Cleveland. And it didn't take us long to start following the guidance of the man and how he do things. I remember in this same Cleveland, around about 66, 67. A lot of people don't know this. Go read Taylor Branch's book. When the first mayor of Cleveland, the late Carl Stokes, was elected, Reverend Abernathy and Dr. King had been very supportive in working with his campaign. But on the night of his election, he sent a message that he didn't want them before the camera. Now, some might say, well, that's good politics. Yeah, that's good Machiavellian politics, where you're ruthless and you don't respect human sentiments. Here it is, one of the greatest leaders in history, African-American history, whose sacrifice and suffering helped make it possible for you to be mayor of Cleveland. And you so caught up in so-called politics, the way they play the game, that you snub this man, had him in a hotel room, feeling bad, sentiments crushed, because one of his own didn't even want him to appear at a press conference. Not at the riot, but at an election celebration. So it didn't take long once we started making a little progress and a little booty and a little game within our sight starts breaking away and deviating from all the guidance. This fellow Tamir Rice, this other fellow Ray Rice, let us talk about this before I let you go. The rice first. That's a white substance that we use as food, but it doesn't have a whole lot of nutrition in it. It's bad on the blood sugar balance and all this and that. And the traditional rice is white. And it's thrown at the participants in a ceremony that and ritual that give rise to social life. And that's weddings. They throw rice at these weddings. And in the word rice, we see this ice, which is a play on religion that's devoid of blood, social life, and even the natural sentiments become frozen, and people don't have love and affection for each other. And this scheme to concoct the doctrine comes way out of Egypt with the Isis mentality, mythology, where you give people so-called religion, but you divest it of its social substance, social justice, and social consciousness. That's false guidance. That's not the guidance of God. When the prophet said marriage is half the religion. Yeah, the Holy Ghost and the spiritual life, that's all right. That's only part of the religion. Social life, community life, social justice, social consciousness. So by throwing this white rice at the wedding, it's symbolic of the fact that we're going to keep the social life primitive and undeveloped within the context of this culture. Peter, this rice, this ice is white. It's a term I can't stand. Look at white. There's three words in there that's important. Hit, that's in W-H-I-T, with our military might. We know the myth of Samson. We cannot forever control people socially through our social organization. By using physical, the pole sitting in the word policy, you see pole, that stands for force of the state. Shoot Michael Brown down physically with a gun. That's forces of the state, physical force. But look what happened, how the masses who were sleeping and uncontrolled, now they out of control. Because physical repression using the pole is not as good as using the ice. But we know now these young folk no longer accept that artificial concoction in the church, so it's not controlling them anymore, and they in the streets. So the word hit with the wit. The way we fight the people is through psychological warfare. We hit them with our minds, our intellects. And what's our tool when we do that? We become master princes. In the word prince, you hear the word rich. We learn how to clone them, how to whitewash them, how to make them wet, how to brainwash them. In the word brain, we see water, rain. And what do we give them? A sham teaching. We rinse their hair with sham, shampoo. The doctrine of the pea, the doctrine of the UR, the doctrine of Urim, which has double zero value, SHAMP00, double zero value, absolutely no value. And this little poor fella in Cleveland, this Tamir Rice, has a Arabic name, a Quranic name, which means palm tree. And in the tradition of Peter, they said the one from Zion came in to Jerusalem. They attribute this rider to Jesus, but this is not the prophet Esau. This is the one that the Zionists create, that he comes in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday riding a donkey. And we know that in Quran, Jesus' mother, when she was trying to find light and understanding, she was drove to the trunk of the palm tree. And the imam said that the palm knowledge in religion is lodged way above the master's head. No limbs can hardly reach it. But she was able to shake and get a few little dates from that tree until Allah could bring her one, bring forth one who was not under the guidance of his Jewish ethnicity, but his mind had been conceived by God in immaculate conception. So these palm leaves is not what Esau brought. These palm leaves is what Jacob give the masses, and the Zionists give the masses to keep us in the palm of his hand. To keep us in the palm of his hand. Keep being the sons of these people, following their guidance. Keep following white supremacy. supremacy, that rice that comes out of this image of Peter, of a European on the cross as your savior. Mary went to the trunk of the palm tree early in the story, the real Jesus. He didn't ride the back of the ass. Balaam did that. Said Balaam rode off with the prince, the forces of the state. And Balaam put inside the donkey a Balaam mindset. Artificial ideas that turned us into a little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. And all this talk about bad, bad black sheep. Have you any wool? Black sheep, yes, three bags full. Put this idea in us. Clone us. Gave birth to an artificially crafted mindset in us. And now some of our leaders know that that mindset is not from the guidance of God, but they refuse to reject it because they are in love with their vain desires in the life of this world. So consequently, as leaders in entertainment and in athletics and in politics and all various forms of human endeavors, the roof is caving in. The leadership is caving in. The leadership is disintegrating. The leadership is falling apart. So the masses are left without anybody to wash their feet. The masses are the feet, the masses are the foundation. And the man said, when we don't wash the masses' feet, keep their feet marred, keep our foundation marred and strong, the whole community will suffer. Yes, I say to you, and I say it again and again and again. As African American people, what we've done is almost as worse, if not more so, than what the children of Israel did after being guided across the Red Sea to the Promised Land and got out in the desert and began to follow the guidance of men as opposed to the guidance of God. Why is our situation worse? Our leaders study that historical example. They nobody. Why didn't we learn from that lesson? Why are we repeating that lesson? Look how Allah is having mercy teaching us. But you want us to ignore all of this pertinent information and just feed the masses what they want to hear when we speak before them. No, we should give them what God gave us to our best. And if they can't identify with our basic love for them, by standing on justice and sacrificing for justice, telling them, look, I believe that justice is next to piety. I'm so much a believer in justice that I stand against my own child, my wife, my daughters, if they do something wrong. I stand against my own self for justice sake. But now don't you be unjust to me. Allah has given me all this steak to give you, and you just want me to give you some little powder milk. Not real milk, but powder milk. Nothing wrong with real milk. The Bible said, give me that milk over that wine. Who wants to give you a little powdered milk? That what I by the man. The man didn't care if crowds didn't come to him, because he wouldn't water down his little message and give the people powdered milk. When Allah has given him the most excellent understanding of religion of deans and Prophet Muhammad, whether he was to have. Why, he would have been unjust to his Lord, unjust to his father and his mother, unjust to the nation of Islam, unjust to our people, unjust to humanity, if he had not stood on the best in the most excellent. Rice, Tamir Rice, that poor brother, 12 years old, shot down the policeman. They didn't do what they'd have done in another situation. Try to talk the boy down with his little toy going. That's all he had. Jumped out the car, blasted. A 26-year-old Ricky hadn't been on the force since March 3rd. But that three had to be in there because that really was blasting us. This Trinitarian idea, March 3rd, a rookie got milk on his breath. And before his partner could open the other side of the car, he blowed this young brother away. And some of you got the nerve to criticize how these people are addressing this, these problems. And you're not doing anything but sitting in your armchair rocking and pseudo philosophical. Philosophizing and going on. Dearly beloved people, we need to repent. We have committed a basic ethical violation when we have preferred the guidance of this group of people who everybody on the planet, including them, know abuse us for 300 years. And everybody know there is no way we've made the progress we would have made without the help of God. But look how disloyal we were. Stokes hadn't been past the Selma movement a good year then. And so he was, before he was so unethical that he wouldn't stand with our great leader, Dr. King, at a political victory celebration. To the beloved people. But brother, I didn't see all this when you supposed to talk about ethnic and ethnicity. Is there? But are we like this dog that described in Quran where when he ducks his head and growl, what have you, and act like they're not even there. Signs, evidence, lessons and proof. What's the number one lesson we need to learn as African Americans? Get back to the guidance of God. Get back to the guidance of God. Get back to the guidance of God. Not get back to the church. Not get back to the Eastern Masjid, the Orthodox Islam, or any of this other man-made stuff. To get back to the guidance of God. Dearly beloved people, it's been a pleasure to have this opportunity to share with you with the best that this donkey has. Knowledge, he's not a thoroughbred. Didn't come from the best breeding. And he's not as thorough as the lady ma'am was. As a student of scripture, and as an analyst, but he's trying to give you the best by not speaking with the voice of a son. I'm not talking about S-U-N, but a S-O-N. Not trying to speak with a voice of a clone, but speaking with a donkey with an independent intellect, original thinker, independent thinker. No University of Georgia. No University of Miami Law School. No University of Madison, Wisconsin Law School. No higher teaching academic experience at Syracuse University College of Law and Thurgood Marshall of Law. None of those institutions gave birth to this mind that you heard today. Who gave birth? Almighty God. How did he give birth? By giving me a teacher like Imam Muhammad. And his words of scripture guidance went into the donkey mind and remade the world that exists between his two ears. All praise is due to Allah. So we thank you for your attention. We leave you as we greeted you. As-salamu alaykum. I don't know the additional format or the agenda, but I'm sure they are available for dialogue.
We have with us our brother, if you stand by, Brother Imam Yusuf, we have from the great city of Ferguson, Missouri, none other than standing in the heavyweight champion seat of justice, freedom, justice, and equality, none other than our dear brother and dear friend, Brother Anthony Shaheed, who is spearheading and quarterbacking the team in Ferguson. Let us all join hands and welcome to the mic, Brother Anthony Shaheed, and we'll stand by for dialogue. So if you want to join the conversation, just get prepared at 805-727-01.
This is Brother Shaheed.
Yes, sir. You may
proceed. Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum,
my brother.
I'm so honored to
keep standing for justice in Ferguson.
Allahu Akbar. Well, I always like to start off with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. I bear witness that there's no God but Allah, and I bear witness Muhammad is his messenger. So we in the city of St. Louis, and the verdict has just came down, and Allah has blessed us. We're holding strong right now. We're standing with the family. We're not wavering. We see this as a spiritual fight, and that's what we're standing on. We're standing on that Allah is God, Muhammad is his messenger, and everything happens by the permission of Allah. But it has brought this community closer and closer together. All around the country, we're dealing with this by black, but this patronizing this four-day weekend. We started Thursday, the so-called Thanksgiving, and it's taken off like wildfire. And, you know, we said that this thing was going to spread all around the country. I think we came on about, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago on your show, Brother Alfred?
Sure,
and we talked
sure.
about how this thing... We talked about how this thing was going to spread and how it was going to be all over, you know, America. And Allah blessed us to see it. We was in touch with the people. We was on the ground. And from being on the ground, felt it. And all praise due to Allah is happening now. You know, it's happening now as we speak. And we're just so thankful to Allah that you and your program has helped us get the word out. We just left where they blew up my brother's church, burned his church up. So we just left there. Brother Al Sharpton was in town with us, and we went to his church, and we was going to help him rebuild his church. We're standing together as Christians and Muslims, fighting together for the injustice that's happening in our community. And Allah is just blessing us, my brother, you know, and I'm so thankful for your radio program here. I'm thankful to Allah. I can never thank Allah enough for you helping us get the word all over the country.
Well, we want to be with you in Ferguson and pending an invitation from you.
I want to invite you now, Brother Imam Alfred. I'd like to invite you right now. If you can come in this weekend, I would be so honored if you would be our guest. You and whoever you bring in, you deem necessary to come in with you and let us take you and let you tour St. Louis. And stop saying Ferguson, please. Say St. Louis County/Ferguson. Then you hit it right. Then you hit the mark of the beach.
And tell us the kind of people we should avoid when we're there. We don't want the give it to us real. See, I like a real brother. You know, no feet.
Well, you can. I don't think I can say it on this radio. I'm not keep it too real. All you gotta do is come on, get with the brothers that's on the ground. Allah's blessing. Believe it or not, I'm standing here with Brother Mustafa Akbar Muhammad right now, the international representative of the Nation of Islam, voice for Mustafa Farrakhan internationally, and he's been working. We've been working together hand in hand on everything.
I know it's very
proactive.
The people responsible for my coming back into the Nation of Islam. Larry Fuack for books and things. Know him well.
Okay, you know, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir, I know you.
How are you, my brother?
Alaykum assalam. We know each other very well for books and things, 1969-68.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know you very well, too. How are you doing, my brother?
Yes, sir. Came in the temple of Islam with the day that Minister Wallace D. taught at the temple. Yes, sir.
Yes, that's right.
Intend to be in St. Louis.
But we want to invite you into St. Louis. We want you to come in as our guest and come on in and help us with what we're doing. We don't look at you as a stranger. Brother Munson was just telling me that he was just reading letters from Dr. Martin Luther King when people were coming from to the March on Washington and all around the world to help us in our fight against human rights during that damn time. And they were referring to civil rights, even though with human rights. And they were calling people outside of Montgomery and different places in Alabama outsiders. And he told them they were an outsider. If you're in America and you were born and raised in America, you're not no outsider.
That's
you know?
Right.
Did that say right, Brother
Miller? That's right. You said it right. Absolutely.
That's right. We came from the same school, UCLA, the University of Cornell, Lenox Avenue. Give the greetings to our brother attorney, Yusuf, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, law professor at Syracuse University, former president of the city council of Selma, Alabama, Imam in the community, Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad, and he's our guest to talk about ethical ethnicity. So anybody like to pose questions to
I'd like to say something before you pose that question. You didn't answer the question I asked you. Are you going to accept our invitation? That, no, Buck.
Yes,
remember,
yes,
I don't want to let Buck dance and talk. Yes or no?
Yes,
only two. Only two words.
I don't want to be a question. Yes, sir. I emphatically accept.
Now go on with your questions.
Yes, sir. I want to know that they accept it, and I'm not going to be any Uncle Ben rice eating person. I'll be right there
So you don't get it wrong. Listen, so you can get it right. I know you're not, but I refer to him as head scratching, foot shuffling, back door knocking, Uncle Ben rice eating, dressed up cotton pickers. But that's not you. You don't fit that category.
I beg your pardon, sir. I never heard of one.
So you never heard of one, huh?
I'd like to have any questions or comments to our brother,
okay,
who's the guest for the day, our brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam from the city of Selma, Alabama.
I have a statement. I remember years ago when we were told if that snake of racism ever show his head, do not hesitate to cut it off.
Yes.
That's metaphorical language. And we know we're supposed to be about peace, but we cannot dilly-dally with what's happening to the African-American body in this country. Invasion of our bodily privacy with bullets, no respect whatsoever for the sacred life connection. And all of us need to put down our differences on this matter and stand firm that the Quran say on justice.
Yeah. Well, Allah has blessed us. We're working with every nationality here. We're working with every religion here. We're not concerned about, you know, nobody's faith. 6-1 is 7, 5-2 is 7, 3-4 is 7, 7 is 0, 7, 2 divided by 14 is 7, 3 divided by 21 is 7, 7 divided by 49 is 7. Whichever way you believe in God, that's fine. Right now, we're talking about injustice, no peace.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Yusuf. This is Brother Akbar.
Yes, brother.
How many miles is it?
Yes, sir, Brother Imam.
How many miles is it from Selma to Montgomery?
It's about, depending upon estimates, some say 47, others say 49.
Okay. I just wanted to know because a group of brothers were marching yesterday from St. Louis to Jefferson City, and I told them it was different than the march from Selma to Montgomery. I said the miles are different and the weather was different, you know. So I just wanted to make sure I was correct. But
you're correct, Brother Imam, but it's similar in the sense that Selma celebrates its 50th anniversary 3 or 4 months from now in March. And what we're seeing, ironically, is that we still going to have to make this march to Jefferson because there's evidently unfinished business from Selma. So in that sense, I think there's a direct correlation.
Brother Imam, we appreciate you inviting us on your radio program. We're looking forward to you to come in. And as you come in, we'll have a date. They just announced that we're asking for 10,000 people to do a march on Clayton, Missouri, the headquarters of the KKK. They just put that out today. We'll have a date by the time you come in here, and then you can get on your radio program and help us throughout America to get people to come in here.
In return and prepare to walk, get my walking shoes. I'm old number 7 man. I walked my post 2,000 by 3,000 mile call, America, and I'm ready to stand post again. and walk
Allah
around. Brother Imam there, he's from the Five Boroughs, from the old from the Queensborough project, so he know the deal. And we prepare to walk across the Triborough Bridge and other bridges, Queensborough Bridge. We certainly can walk to Jefferson
Cleveland,
City, Missouri.
Yes, sir.
And just.
Well, we appreciate you inviting us on your radio program. As far as I'm concerned, this is my radio program. I can come
that's
on this radio program
that's
anytime
right.
I want to. I ain't got to check
you,
with nobody.
Sir.
I take charge of my post and all type of property and view and walk my post in a perfect manner, keeping always on alert.
Yes, sir.
So, may Allah bless you, brother.
Post, I'm still on my post. And won't allow anyone to create a nuisance on or around my post. General orders are still in effect. Thank you, beloved brothers. For coming on Religion Means Alive. I'm going to turn you back
may
to
Allah
the
bless
hand,
you. Thank you.
Dear brother and dear friend,
thank
Brother
you.
Imam Abdul Salam.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And may Allah bless the brothers for their service.
Thank you.
Thank
may Allah
you.
Bless you too. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, sir, my beloved. Well,
that's it, Brother Imam.
Yes, sir. Call me right after this, please.
I certainly,
Brother Imam, will you
will
be so kind?
I enjoyed the comments. I enjoyed the comments of the brother, his fervor, his passion, and it's wonderful for you to be extended that invitation. And inshallah, he'll bless you with the strength and wisdom to maximize this utility.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Call me, Brother Imam, right after the show. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir, I will.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. Thank you, and peace be on you.